Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to share with you in this series about what really matters. I want to talk to you about the heart of our faith. And of course, the heart of our faith is Jesus Christ. I want you to have an encounter with Him, a meeting with Him, and come to contact Him in a new personal way. Let me share with you the gospel. This is Mark chapter 8. And they came to Bethsaida. Some people brought to Jesus a blind man and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he said, "I see men, but they look like trees that are walking." And then again, Jesus laid his hands upon his eyes and he looked intently, and the man was restored. He saw everything clearly. And he sent him away to his home saying, "Don't even enter the village." I don't know if you've ever heard that song. I love the lyrics. It's a gospel song by Patsy Cline, and it's called "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." And a couple of the verses, one of the verses, "Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, this is my plea, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be." Wow. I think that's our heart's desire. We all want to be near to Jesus, closer to Jesus. A walk is symbolic for a journey together with Jesus. And I love that song because it talks about walking close and near and getting to have contact with Jesus. That's exactly what happened with the man in the Bible, if you heard the story. It was Mark chapter 8, and I was so touched by that story because here's this blind man in Bethsaida. Bethsaida would be the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. It's where Philip and Peter and Andrew came from, and Jesus and his disciples were there, and they brought a blind man to him. And Jesus, interestingly, he takes the blind man by the hand and he walks with him. He takes him out of the village, out of Bethsaida. Now, use your imagination for a moment. Can you imagine during the walk, and remember, this is just a closer walk with Jesus. During that walk, what Jesus said to him, "I am the light of the world. I am with you. I will help you. I am your friend." I love how Jesus in the Gospel of John says, "I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends." And that's exactly, I think, what Jesus wants for us. Not so much that He's our Master and our Lord, I know He is. He is so worthy. He's the Son of God, and He is Lord and Master. But He wants this intimacy, this relationship. He took a blind man by the hand. Can you imagine? And I believe He wants to take us by the hand on this close walk. I preach parish missions. Parish missions are a time of revival in the Catholic Church. And they come out night after night, morning after morning, because they want some type of a meeting. They want some type of an encounter. Through the preached word, they want some type of contact with Jesus again in their lives. Most of the people that come are religious. They've already had some type of an encounter, and they want something more. They want something new. They want something different. And that's exactly why I got on television, because I wanted you, the viewer, to have an encounter and some type of contact, some type of refreshment, if you will, some type of rejuvenation through my television programs. See, because I believe that the risen Jesus, the same Jesus that grabbed the hand of that blind man, that same Jesus right now is reaching out to you right where you are watching, right where you're listening by radio, right where you are watching by the internet and reaching out his hand to you. One thing I want you to understand is that encounters, we're talking about meetings, they can be dramatic and they can be kind of ordinary. This man in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8 had both. First of all, when he encountered Jesus, he just encountered his touch by him holding his hand, and he just walked with him. And sometimes an encounter with Jesus will be like that. You will encounter Jesus in the silence, in the quiet, maybe some religious music, reading the Bible, your own conscience, watching a television program like this. I hope that you will realize that the risen Jesus is there just as much as he is in a church. Other times, there will be dramatic encounters. So the man walked with him, and then Jesus touched his eyes, spit on his eyes, and he came to a gradual new vision. And sometimes there are dramatic moments of encounter. We all love to hear those stories. I remember a man came to visit me at my retreat center in Houston, Holy Name Retreat Center. He watches my program on television, he told me, and he wanted to set up a meeting with me. And he said, "Father, I was an alcoholic and I have been drinking for years and I tried to stop, wasn't able to do it. But I was just driving in my car, and as I was driving, I began to pray. And as I was driving the car, Jesus touched me in such a powerful way. I don't know how I was still able to drive, but he said, he touched me and the love that flowed into my heart." He said, "I've always heard about the love of God. We've heard it preached and read about it in the Bible," he said, "but I never really knew how deep that love is, how intimate, how powerful." And he said, "Father, it changed my life." He said, "I was never able to stop drinking, but because of that touch, that encounter in my car, I was able to stop drinking, and now I'm in recovery." And I think that's so beautiful because it was a very powerful encounter. I've had powerful encounters with the Lord. I think this is what people want. I remember one time, just as a teenager, I was only 18 years old. I had been searching for God in my life, looking, reading the Bible and searching the scriptures, and wasn't really going to church, but starting to pray. And just one night I went to bed. And if you know anything about Pentecost, suddenly it says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place, and then suddenly the Spirit came. So, you know, I was expecting, I was believing, I was hoping, but you never know. But God has a plan, at least he did for me in this way. Suddenly I had this dream, and in this dream I had an encounter with the risen Lord that absolutely revolutionized my life and led to my calling as a Catholic priest. And wow, I never would have dreamed, but I did dream. That's exactly what the vision of Pentecost is, that your young people will have visions. And your old people dream dreams. And I always tell people, you're never too old to dream a dream, and you're never too young to have a vision. So be open to dramatic encounters with God. But in addition, I don't want you to think you're being left out. That's what my mother told me one time. I was sitting on the couch with her, and you know, I'm telling my mom all about the wonderful things and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and how I've seen the risen Lord. And you know, he put his arm around my shoulder and loved me, and I experienced resurrection in my life. And I'm talking to my mom about it, and she looked at me and said, "I've been Catholic all my life, and I haven't had anything like that. What's going on?" And I think that's the experience for the majority of people. Maybe you've been Catholic or Christian all your life, and you know, maybe you've had a born-again experience, and you've had a dramatic experience, and or maybe your born-again experience wasn't so dramatic and you're not sure if something's wrong with you. Well, let me say that different people encounter God in different ways. And my experience doesn't have to be your experience, and your experience is different from my experience, and they're all good. Some of them are dramatic, some not so dramatic. A lot of people encountered Jesus in the Bible and it wasn't so dramatic. They encountered his teaching, which we get from the scriptures. Some encountered miracles, that was very dramatic. And some just saw him from a distance, but it was still the same Jesus. So I'm hoping that you will realize that encounters come in different ways. You've heard the story about Elijah the prophet. He went up to a mountaintop one time, and while he was in the mountain, at the mountain, the Lord passed by. And all of a sudden, the mountain was rent into pieces. There was a big earthquake, and it says that the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a mighty wind, and it said that the Lord wasn't in the wind. Then there was a ferocious fire, and then the scripture said that the Lord wasn't in the fire. Then there was a tiny whisper, and Elijah hid his face because God spoke to him. Wow, just a tiny whisper. Well, one of my best friends is a Catholic priest, and in our community, our Passionist community, his name is Father Joe. And Father Joe and I are really good friends. We go way back, and we took a walk together. And during that walk, we were so vulnerable with each other, and we share with each other what's going on in each other's lives. And then we go to confession to each other. I call that walk an Emmaus walk. Jesus comes to me through another person. So, you know, there's the risen Jesus, and he comes to us in all of his splendor and all of his encounter in very dramatic ways, but also through your conscience, through the Bible, through artwork, through poetry, through preaching, through television shows, through music, and through people. And one of the places that he came to me, remember, we're talking about a closer walk. One of the places he simply came to me was walking with my friend. Remember what I said? More than anything, Jesus simply wants to be our friend. And friendship has to do with being vulnerable and sharing and having good times together. So I want you to know that Jesus is your friend, and he'll come to you through your parents, through your spouse, through your children, through your friends, and listen for his wisdom. Listen for him to speak to you. So it doesn't always have to be the earthquake and the wind and the fire. It doesn't always have to be dramatic. It can be, and I hope it will be for you, but I'm praying that you'll hear the whisper, the still small voice. I'm praying you'll sense Jesus holding your hand as you watch this television program. And that in retrospect, as you think about it, you'll say, he visited me today. Remember the story, this is one of the Easter stories, the story of Emmaus. I've been to Israel, and there's actually four different Emmauses all around Jerusalem. They're not quite sure where it was. One's north, one's south, one's east, and one's west. That tells me that really everywhere in the world can be Emmaus. And you know the story, here's these two disciples. And they were downcast because their hopes were dashed because Jesus was put to death. And because Jesus was put to death, they thought all the hope was gone. They thought he was the Messiah. And so as they're walking discouraged and they're talking, you know, downcast, Jesus, the risen Lord, walks with them, and they didn't know it was him. And sometimes in your life, Jesus is walking with you and you don't know it's him. You have to be spiritually adept. You have to open up your heart, and you have to be aware, because he comes to us in so many ways. Just simply walking, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, that's my plea. So anyway, he talks to them about the scriptures, and he gives them hope. And then he shares a meal with them. A meal in the Semitic world, of course, is that place of intimacy with somebody. Meals in our culture are places of intimacy. That's where we get to know people. That's where we get to know their ideas, their politics, their religion, their heart. As we eat, we talk about different things. And of course, the wonderful meal that Jesus gave us at the Last Supper, we Catholics believe that it is the very body and the blood of Christ, and we are nourished by this food. And this food is literally brought into the present. That's the sacrifice of the Mass, and the dynamic remembering that brings the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary right into the moment. So they have this encounter with Jesus simply by walking and by talking and by sharing a meal. So ordinary. And it's only in retrospect, when Jesus disappears, that they said, weren't our hearts burning? They had this wonderful encounter. We try to give people encounters at our retreat centers. I told you that I go and I preach missions, parish revivals, parish retreats, and I go to all these different parishes in the United States, and I try to provide an atmosphere where people will encounter, where the risen Jesus will touch you right where you are. Perhaps you are discouraged, like the two apostles were as they were walking away from Jerusalem. And by the way, in the Gospel of Luke, Jerusalem is the place of mission. That's the place where they're sent out. So they were going the opposite direction. They were going away from the place of mission. They had given up. They had lost hope. They were discouraged. You might be at that place in your life right now because of something that's been going on in your life, some kind of a death, some kind of a discouragement, and you're going the wrong way. Well, I'm praying this program right now will turn you around and bring you to the place of mission where you too can say, Jesus has touched me. He's alive. He's spoken to me. That's exactly what happened with the apostles. So on this road to Emmaus, Jesus spoke to them. It was a very ordinary moment, yet it turned into an extraordinary risen moment for those disciples. So we have retreat centers around the country, and that's what we're hoping for people that come to our retreat centers. I live at the one in Houston, it's called Holy Name. We have one in Detroit, one in Sacramento. We have one in Los Angeles and New York and Florida, Pittsburgh, you know, all these different places. And as I'm filming this on a Saturday. Literally, I had left the retreat center a little while ago. There are about 80 women on retreat at our retreat center, hearing talks, spending time in personal prayer, doing some journaling, and just taking walks. That's one of the most beautiful things you can do on a retreat. I love to walk. And somehow when I just simply take a walk, I sense God's presence. The Lord is reaching out to hold your hand to walk with you right now. He knows what you're going through. And while it may not be taken away, He'll walk with you through it. I love what it says in Psalm 23. The shepherd walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And because He's with us, we fear no evil, because He's at our side with His rod and His staff that give us comfort. I remember one time I went to a retreat center in Big Sur, California. It's right overlooking the Pacific Ocean, 1,300 feet high, beautiful place, beautiful blue Pacific at night. At night, the stars. And when I was there, I wasn't hearing any talks. I just went there with my Bible. I have a journal. By the way, I advise you to get a journal and just spend a little time writing about your spiritual life, about your life. I've been doing that now for 30 years. And it's interesting, as I write, I get nourished, I get edified. And later on, years later, or even months later, when I read about it, it's fascinating to me how God speaks to me through my past experiences. So journaling is really important. But anyway, I'm at the retreat, and I remember one night I went out there. This is probably about 15 years ago. And I went out there, and it was so dark. This is out right by the Pacific Ocean. I'm on retreat by myself in a hermitage. And it was so dark. I could hear the ocean down below. And I looked up and I could see the milk of the Milky Way. And I say this to people all the time, reach for the stars. And as my mouth dropped open. And I got a sense of the grandeur of God. Oftentimes we miss creation. It's so big and so beautiful, sometimes we fail to take it in. It is awe-inspiring. As I'm looking at the stars, I have dreams in my life. You have dreams in your life. Not literal dreams per se, but aspirations. And one of the dreams I had as a Catholic priest, I wanted to reach out to people beyond the walls of the church. Because, you know, the people that come to church are great, but they're mostly saved. Most of them are saved already. Some still need it, and we try to help them with that. But what about the young people that are outside the walls of the church? What about the people They're called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that claim no religion, no spirituality. They don't go to church. They're lost. They may not know it. What about them? Well, as a Catholic priest and as someone who loves the Lord and who has encountered the Lord and was lost at one time in my life, and Jesus saved me, as a Catholic priest, I want to reach out to those people. So I had this dream that I wanted to get on television and mass media, printed media, and social media. I wanted to get on there so that I could reach out to these different people beyond the walls of the church. But I thought to myself, you know, it's so hard, it's so expensive. I don't have any contacts. I don't know any people in the business. How do I do something like this? But again, I look back up at the stars and I heard those words of Jesus. All things are possible for God. And I looked at the stars, and if God can do that, getting on television will be easy. So I really sense that God spoke to me on that retreat. And that's why we go on retreats, to listen to the voice of God, to dream dreams, to get direction, to go through personal change, to get perspective. I invite you to get a spiritual director if you don't have one. Talk with that person. Get a counselor. Go on a retreat if you want to one of our centers or Jesuits or the Redemptorists. They all have retreat centers, Franciscans. Go to a retreat center, go on a retreat, and talk to a spiritual director or a counselor. They can help you with your dreams and your visions. You can hear the voice of God, as I said, through people. So anyway, I started working really hard, and long story short, now I'm on several networks, radio, social media, written 22 books. It's because I came aside and rested for a while and got a new perspective. And that's one of the ways that God will speak to you. I don't apologize for taking retreats or vacations or going to play golf once in a while, because we all need some rest. And it's in the rest. That's what Jesus told the apostles. He said, come apart before you come apart. Come aside and rest for a while. Right there in your home, just as you're doing, watching TV, maybe put on a little Christian music. You can read the Bible just for 5 minutes, see if God speaks to you. Perhaps do a little bit of journaling, and then maybe just a little bit of time in prayer. You can encounter Jesus. And remember, it doesn't have to be this earth-shaking moment. It doesn't have to be the fire of Pentecost. It can be talking to a friend on the phone in a godly way. It can be just taking a walk with yourself. It could actually be taking a walk with your animal. Sometimes, remember in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. He can speak through your cat or your dog too. I've met people that are devastated when their animal dies because they love them so much. Well, God can speak through your animal too. So most of all, I want you to know that God speaks in your heart. I got this quote from St. Augustine that I really like. And it's a quote about how people go abroad and they go far searching for God, and they miss the fact that God is in their own heart. And I love that, because God dwells in you. You are the temple. You are the shrine of God. So when it comes to looking for an encounter, it can happen in so many different ways. I think people think that they have to go to the Holy Land or they have to go to Rome, and those are all good things, and I've lived in both places. But I want you to know that you can encounter God right where you live. In fact, it says in the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles, in God we live and move and have our being. So in other words, it's kind of like the story I like to tell about the fish. There were two fish swimming in the ocean. One fish looked at the other and said, hey, where's the ocean? The other fish looked at him and he laughed and he said, the ocean, it's what you're swimming in. So a lot of people go, where's God? It's like, it's what you're swimming in. God is right there for you right now. Take a moment. Be still and know that I am God. He lives in your heart. He walks with you. He wants to be your best friend. More than anything else, people need an encounter. And I'm praying that through this program, yeah, you're going to have dramatic encounters as you watch. I'm talking about what really matters. You will have dramatic encounters with the Lord, and I'm believing for that. But I'm also believing that in the ordinary, you won't be scandalized by silence, by just taking a walk, by reading a good book, listening to music, talking to people. You won't be scandalized by it, but you'll hear the voice of God in it. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.